Silence in the room. Okay, so we are doing a series leading up to Christmas on the real Mary. And we'll open the scriptures soon. So, you ready for... I'd like to have some testimonies, time allowing, after I've finished. And as I go through this talk this morning, you'll get a sense of what kind of testimony I'm looking for, to that we can all encourage one another. So let us pray, shall we? Now, God, it is so good to come on Sundays and to worship you and to gather around your word. Worship and word. Word and worship. Such gifts. Means of grace. That we can be built up, strengthened and comforted. We thank you for word and worship. Worship and word. And I pray, Lord, that in this brief time now, that we would indeed, by your Spirit, be comforted, strengthened. In your wonderful name, amen. 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 Okay. I'm a hunter and a gatherer by nature. And I love to find stories. Do you like stories? Did you read this one in the Herald? In November. True story. There's a guy by the name of Javas Carter. Is that how you pronounce his name? J-A-V-A-S? There's a Javas. Javas Carter. This is in November, just gone by. Prior to November, he had saved up all his money to do this big, massive OE, to do a big trip. To go around the Caribbean. Anyone read this? Anyone read the Herald? He saved up thousands upon thousands of dollars. And Jarvis, he lives in Picton. So his itinerary, his schedule was like this. Picton to Wellington. Wellington to Sydney. Sydney to L.A. L.A. to the Caribbean. And his hope was that when he finally got to the Caribbean, he would be there to celebrate his 25th birthday with friends on a cruise around the Caribbean. So he saved up thousands upon thousands of dollars for this. So this is how the trip went. Flew out of Picton, one of those little planes, flew out of Picton and got to Wellington. When he got to Wellington, they informed him that due to an internal problem with the airline, that his flight would now be flying out the next day. Okay, so there was a big, massive delay. Next day comes, he goes to board his flight from Wellington to Sydney. Okay, he gets there, finally gets to Sydney, and the people in Sydney say, look, we're sorry. Your flight, this flight, will now be delayed 20 hours. So he sucks that up. So, Picton to Wellington. He had an overnight delay in Wellington. Wellington to Sydney. He had another delay of 20 hours. He finally got to L.A., and I don't know if you've ever flown through LA Airport. I have. It's not a particularly attractive airport. So you're going through, you get these, and they've got these very officious guards. Have you been there? Show of you, a number of us have. And so he was in the queue, and he got closer and closer and closer to the line, and then two armed guards came and grabbed him and took him away. Locked him up for 20 24 hours. 24 hours. During that 24 hours, he wasn't allowed to sleep. He wasn't given anything to eat. 24 hours. And they just maltreated, mistreated him. So this is Jarvis. And they claimed that, you know, in 2008, a number of years ago, that there had been a slight problem with another trip that he had undertaken, a slight problem. And it was on the basis of that slight visa issue that they grabbed him and held him in custody for 20 hours. After the 20 hours, do you know what they did? They took him to another flight headed back to Auckland. He got to Auckland. He was just, you know, hardly had anything to eat. He just couldn't sleep on the way back, all this kind of stuff. And he thought, I'll go to Macca's at the airport. Opened his bag and his wallet had been taken. So he never got to the Caribbean, never got to celebrate his 25th, and he lost thousands upon thousands of dollars in his savings as a result. Now, if you were in, this happened just recently, to a Kiwi in November. If this had been you, I don't know about you, but I would have probably said, that's the last time I talk to that airline. That is the last time I talk to that transport outfit that got my itinerary together. That's the last time I'll talk to an American. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think after a kind of like a nightmare like that, he probably would have thought, that's the last time I talk to those kind of people. Okay? Just about everyone in this room, I guarantee you've gone out online to receive help. Do you know, like when it comes to banking, insurance, and IT, how many here have gone and you've got a problem and you need to go online to get assistance? Hands up. How many, after you've waited about 3 days online, do you know, and they keep saying, we'll put you forward, we'll put you forward, we'll put you in queue, you've got another 20. How many have just slammed the phone down and then you've said to yourself, that's the last time I'll do that, that's the last time I'll talk to them? Show of hands. A number. That is to set the scene of my topic this morning. Okay? Where you just go through a nightmare and you say to yourself as a result, that's the last time I'll talk to those people. So if you have Bibles, I want us to now briefly to look at Mary, okay? Mary. The real Mary. So we've got just a number of passages to look at. And if you could come with me to Luke chapter 2, okay? Luke 2. Luke 2. And Luke 2 and verse 35. So Mary, she's been told that she's going to have this little one, and he's going to go by the name of Jesus. But she's told something else. So in Luke verse 2, chapter 2, verse 35, and it says here, and as a result of you having this little one, it then says, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well. In other words, as a result of having this son called Jesus, a sword will pierce your own heart. In other words, as a result of having this little one, you are going to experience difficulties. So I have a sword up here. Well, actually, it's a little knife. I also have a heart. Well, actually, what do you call these things? It's a melon of some kind. I'm just going to place this sword, this knife, into the heart. It's a good topic this morning, isn't it? I'm going to put that there, and we're going to come back to that. So, right from the get-go, it says here she's going to have a hard time. Right from the get-go, like that story I told you about Jarvis just before, he had a hard time. Okay, let's move on. Next passage of Scripture. Come with me to Matthew chapter 2. Okay, that's Matthew's Gospel and chapter 2. So we're continuing with the story of Mary here, Matthew 2 and verse 13. And it goes like this. So now Jesus is a little boy, and when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take this child and his mother Mary and escape to Egypt." So the point being here, people, that here's the next thing that happens to them. They become refugees. I have a photo of refugees, Matthew, if you could show that up on the PowerPoint. I think to be a refugee is one of the most hellish things that could ever happen to anybody on this planet. You experience gross insecurity. You have got very few possessions, little safety, little comfort, little food, little fluid. It is not easy. So, Mary and Joseph and little Jesus are now refugees. Here's the knife, people. It just goes in a little bit more. And her heart begins to cut because of this child, Jesus. This is Mary's real life. Let's go to the next passage of Scripture. If you could come with me to Luke chapter 2. Okay, Gospel of Luke, the one that Luke wrote, chapter 2. And it says here in verse 41. Okay, verse 41. So by this time, Jesus is like a teenager. Their refugee years have finished, and he's like a teenager. Then it says here, Luke 2:41, "Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem." But they were unaware of it. A teenager at play here. Then it says, "Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day." Now, by the way, that you need to understand the culture of the day. When they traveled in Jesus' day, they traveled in groups. And the women formed a group, and they went ahead. And the men formed a group, and they stayed behind, further behind. So you had two groups traveling on a journey. And it wasn't uncommon for, you know, for there to be a little bit of mixing going on in between the two groups. So what would have happened here is that Mary would have thought, "Oh, yeah, Joseph is back there with the guys." And Joseph, of course, would have thought, "Oh, Jesus, he's up there further with the girls and with Mary." Are you with me? That's probably what would have happened. So let's keep on with the story. After 3 days, so they went back to Jerusalem. Then it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and Mary, the mother, said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Then he said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's house?" If you were Mary, how would you have felt at that point? I mean, Mary was the parent. And then this young teenager says, "Well, yeah, you're my mother and Joseph is my father, but actually, I really belong to another family." I don't know how you would have felt. I would have been a wee bit hurt and pained. I reckon the sword would have gone in a little bit more, yes? And the heart would have been cut a bit more. Is that right? Can I have a bit of interaction going this morning? Thank you. Let's go. Let's go to the next one. Matthew 12:46. Matthew 12:46. Matthew 12:46. What does it say here? Oh my goodness. Now Jesus is no longer a teenager. He's in his 20s. Or maybe even in his early 30s. 46. While Jesus was talking to the crowd, his mother and his brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." And Jesus replied to this person, "Where is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And then pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, if Mary heard that, how would she feel? It's like this Jesus is putting even more distance between himself and his mum. And it's like, let's be honest, dear friends. The knife goes further into the heart of Mary. We're talking about the real Mary this morning. That was a dismissive comment. Now come with me to John chapter 19, to Gospel, the one that John wrote, 19, and verse 25. John 19. And if we could have that video clip ready to roll soon, Matthew. John's Gospel and verse 25. This is at the scene of the cross. So this is what the soldiers did. And then near the cross of Jesus, Jesus was on the cross, stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." But here is Mary at the foot of the cross. Could we play this, please, Matthew?
And I think back to the parque. Juan.
I think Mary's heart was cut in two. I think, you know, friends, in one sense, Mary could have said after all of that, what God put her through, "That's the last time I ever talked to God." You know, did you know that just very recently a novel has been written about Mary? And the novel has been written by an Irishman by the name of Colm Toiblin. And he said in this novel, admittedly a fictitious account of Mary, he said, look, Mary, you know, would have ended up, after all of this, full of rage and bitterness and with a heart full of grief and pain. Now that's the fictitious Mary. My series this month is on the real Mary. So how did Mary end up? Yes, I think a sword did pierce her own heart. But how did she end up? Come with me to Acts come with me to the book of Acts. If you can come with me to Acts chapter 1. So that follows John, for those who don't know. Acts chapter 1. And it says this. And in verse 14, no, sorry, if we could go to verse 13. So this is after the crucifixion of Jesus. Miraculously, it's after the resurrection of Jesus. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Here's my question, people. At the end of everything that Mary had gone through, here's the thing. She was still talking to God. Her heart had been cut in two. Her life, in one measure, had been really difficult. And she had every right to say at the end of this, well, that's the last time I'll talk to God. But we read in Acts that she was one of those who was constantly in what? Constantly people in what? In prayer. Prayer is not something that we do. Prayer is something or someone that we talk to. And she was talking. She was still talking. She never stopped talking to God, no matter what she went through. Never stopped. So I'm going to finish soon. Goes like this. There was a mum, true story. I have all of these books in my library in my office here. Her name is Kaya Obara. And she had two daughters. And one of her daughters was by the name of Eduarda, true story. And Eduarda was a diabetic. And she had an episode, Eduarda, when she was 16, the daughter, had an episode, and she was about to slip into a coma, a diabetic coma. And as Eduarda was slipping into the diabetic coma, Eduarda whispered to her mum, who was at her bedside, "Mum, mummy, never leave me, will you? Promise that you'll stay with me. Promise. Mummy, please promise." And then she just slipped into a coma. And for 30 years, the mum stayed by her side. And even when the mum went through a heart attack 12 years later, and even when her other daughter became a drug addict and was put in prison, because of drugs, whom the mum stayed alongside Eduarda for over 30 years. And here's the thing, the mum was a Christian. And no matter what she went through, she never stopped talking to God. Never stopped. Do you know there's a guy by the name of Gunnar? That's his name, Gunnar. And Ruby and I were reading about him just recently. Also a Christian. Gunnar, he was really good with his hands. And what he used to do, he built his own house. And he got railway sleepers, you know, the nice chunky railway sleepers. And he built a whole house out of railway sleepers. And he just had that knack of being really rigorous. And he built this beautiful but rustic kind of house. He also had a daughter, Gunnar and his wife. They had a daughter. And when she got to her teenage years, she wanted to earn some money, so she went babysitting. And she went to babysit with the people next door who had a cherry farm. And the cherry farm people, they hired someone to work on the farm. But they failed to do a police check on the person that they hired. And so when Gunner's daughter went to babysit this particular night, this guy, this hired hand, attempted to rape her. And as she fled the attempted rape scene, he shot her in the back. And she died. And then Gunnar, the father, who was a Christian, never stopped talking to God. And he even started to talk to God about the killer, and his name was Ruby. And then he started to visit the killer in prison, who was waiting on death's row. And as a result, the killer became a Christian. Gunnar had another child. And his one and only child was in a car accident and was rendered mentally disabled for the rest of his life. I have the book. When I read through the whole book, Gunnar, he has never stopped talking to God. His heart was sliced in two. Never stopped talking to God. Like Mary. Do you know there's a lady by the name of Marva? And Marva, she had two legs. She had a right leg and a left leg. And the left leg, when she was in her adult years, it started to swell. And she went to a doctor and said, "Look, my leg," I've met Marva. So she said, "My leg is swelling. What do I do here?" And the doctor misdiagnosed the problem. So he said to Marva, Marva Dawn is her name, said to Marva, "You just got to walk and exercise." So Marva proceeded to hundreds of miles, as it were, and exercised. The misdiagnosis was that there was a bone break. And that what caused the fluid intake, or whatever you call it, the build-up in the left leg, the foot. And so eventually her foot, it shattered. So then she had to go into surgery, and they had to, do all sorts of bone surgery and put metal plates in there, so forth and so on. And as a result of that, she ended up with one long skinny leg and one shorter fat leg. And then this changed how she stood. And because they didn't kind of pick all the ramifications of this up, finally it created a whole new set of problems for Dawn, such that she had to, for the rest of her life, and she's still alive, have a leg brace on. And she has crutches and wheelchairs, and it all stems from, a misdiagnosis. This happened to her when she was a Christian. You should read her books. Oh, she is still talking to God. I mean, that accident, her heart broke. Is she still talking with God? One final story. If you want this book, it's probably one of the best books written on this sort of topic. I've got it in my office there. There was this lovely family, and they were homeschooling their kids. Anyone here homeschool, by the way? Homeschooling? Yeah, a few. Homeschooling their kids. And these kids, they got to a point in their studies where they were learning about Native American Indians. And so the parents came up with this wonderful idea. They said, "Let's go to an Indian reservation in Idaho, in the States, and we'll do a powwow with the American Indian." And so the family, the mum, the dad, and the three kids, and the dad's mother, they all bundled into the minivan, and they went to the Indian reservation to do a powwow. And they sat around in the tents. And you know how the Indians do it? And they sat around in the tents and they did the powwow sort of thing, And when they sat around, they heard that the Indians, the Native Americans in in America were lamenting the amount of alcohol that was being drunk by their own people. And I think we've got similar problems here in this country. With Pākehā, Pi, and Māori, and so forth and so on. So they were talking about alcohol abuse, the misuse of alcohol. And then the mother noticed that it was, oh, it's 8:15, we better get going home. So they all piled into the minivan, and they were streaming down this road, and the dad was behind the wheel, and he noticed a car that was swerving coming towards their way. And there was a head-on crash. And when the dad finally came to in this wreck of a car, he looked around to see what the damage was. And he soon saw that his mother died, his wife died, and one of his girls died. Three generations lost in an instant. And he felt like a caged animal. A torrent of rage and anger welled up inside of him. The accident was due to the guy who was drunk. I've got the book. I went right through to the last chapter. He is still talking. I mean, his heart was just sliced in half. But he's still talking to God. So I've got to finish, people. I don't know what your year's been like. I don't even know what your last 5 years have been like. I know with some, but I don't know with all. And maybe you've had your fair share of disappointments. Maybe you've had your fair share of hurt and pain. And at times it's like a knife has seared your own heart. It's like at times, you know, it's like your heart is just broken up into 1,000 little pieces. As your pastor this morning, as someone who learns from the scriptures and from Mary's life, arguably really the first disciple, a woman, no matter what you go through, never, never stop talking to God. Never. Never. This afternoon, never stop talking to God. Tonight, never stop talking to God. Tomorrow, never stop. This coming week. Now, I know some of you haven't even started to talk to God. Because in a church like this, we get all sorts, and I think that's fantastic. And we want to welcome all sorts. Can you remember when you learned how to ride a bike? You keep falling off. And sometimes learning how to talk to God is like, you know, hopping on the bike. It's not easy, but it gets easier. And maybe there are some of you here, you're a bit different. Maybe you have and you used to talk to God a lot. Now you don't. I want you to start again. You know, over this last winter, I stopped running. I just did fast walks. I'm getting soft. So I just stopped running. And you know, yesterday, I went for my first run. Oh, I got back and I was just, you know how it's, what it's like? I am so unfit, you know. Maybe you've got to start talking to God again. A lot. But maybe some of you here, you've been through so much pain that you're scared to what you'll say if you talk to God. In fact, you've been through so many disappointments, it's not even in you to talk to God. Do you know what I'd recommend? You find someone who's still talking to God and ask them to pray on your behalf. If you sincerely, it's not because of laziness, but you just cannot do it right now. That's why we have family. If you can't do it, we can do it for you. Is that cool? So you find someone, you go up to them and say, look, I've been through so much, I just cannot even face God right now. And may the person who you talk to, may they be able to say, that's okay, I'll pick your burden up and I'll pray on your behalf. Is that cool? But like with Mary, the real Mary, never stop talking to God. Prayer is a gift. It's so good. I walked to Southmall yesterday, as I do. I'm a Southie, I'm trying to be. And I walked to the mall, you know, just with my jandals and a dirty white t-shirt. And a pair of shorts. And I was walking to Southmall, and I got close to the main doors, you know, Southmall, mid-afternoon yesterday. And a person who lives on our street came out the very time I was going in. So I said to this person, I'm going to disguise name, gender, and so on. I just said to this person, oh, g'day. I'll call this person, no, I won't. I just said, g'day. And we ended up natting and chatting. And then this person said, I desperately need a job. I have to work. I need a job. So I said to this person, then and there, at the main entrance to Southmall. Now, this person is not a Christian. I said to this person, let's pray. So I put my hand, I said, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? And this person said, that's fine. And I said, so there, just then and there, it's a wonderful gift. I just put my hand on this person's shoulder and talked to God about this person's need for a job. Never stop talking to God. Never. If you like it, never. Never stop talking. This has got to be one of the best messages to finish the year. Is there anyone here who really relates to this? And you'd like to come up front very briefly and share something. That your heart was broken, cut in two. Is there anyone that would like to, and through it all, you, like Di shared at the beginning of the service, you clung on to God, you never stopped talking. Is there anyone? Anyone know? Okay, grab the mic there. Yeah, just.
Oh, come on.
Just keep it brief. Yeah, sure. Come up the front.
Okay,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a small period in my life when all I really wanted was a job and such, but then as I kept assisting and volunteering within the community, it's like doing what I do and stuff. Like, look, the Lord showed me it's like, it's not so much about money, but it's more about giving out to the community, helping those more in need, yeah, like than myself, like yeah, helping out in soup kitchens, helping the disabled, homeless, yeah, prostitutes, you name it, just yeah, blessing them. So I get my ACC, my invalid's benefit, and it's just so wonderful to help the less fortunate, I find. So God told me, it's not all about money, I'll provide for you. And that he does, each week.
Thank sweet you. Yeah, thank you, friend. Yeah, it's so good. Anybody else? You know, you were going through a hard time, and you kind of were able to keep talking to God. Yeah, Em.
When my sister was killed in a car accident when she was 16, I was 19, I felt that God prepared my heart in the weeks leading up to it, and he was right there with me. And the moment that I found out about it, and the first thing that came into my head was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll keep your path straight. And it was just the first thing, and I just felt his presence with me that whole time, and just, yeah, it was just, if anything, we got more tight. And yeah, I felt really grateful for him. It was almost like he had us in his...
Yeah. Yeah. Bless you, Emma. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Emma losing her sister like that, and we all know Emma here, and we know that she's still talking with her God. Anybody else? Jane, you're up again. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. Yeah, just keep it brief. Yeah.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Emma, I also lost someone. My dad went fishing one day, and his boat capsized. And yeah, it was absolutely devastating because I missed him for about one hour. And the whole time I was saying to God, how could I have missed him for 1 hour, just 1 hour? Could I not have got ready quicker because I had to travel 4 hours? 1 hour? Really? Just so I could see him one last time? And I kept praying. They took 2 days to find his body, and through that whole trying to keep my mom together and everybody and everything, I just reached out, and I didn't have a very good relationship with God at that stage. I think I hadn't gone to church in about 3 or 4 years. And God just pulled me close. And the second day, while waiting for them, they were still diving for his body. I sat there, and I felt this immense peace. The peace that I had been praying for. And it was just the Holy Spirit moved, and he wrapped his arms around me, and he said, "It's okay. It's going to be okay." And I can't bring myself to ever leave God again, because he showed himself to be so loyal and so faithful. Then when you go through these really hard times in your life, God is right there. All you need to do is feel him and take from him, because he's there giving it. Yep.
Thanks, Jane. So when was that, Jane?
That was the 16th of December in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah.
16th of December.
Yeah, just before Christmas.
Yeah.
Don't remember Christmas that year.
Yeah. Thanks, Jane. Yeah. So, friends, never stop talking with God. Never stop. Never stop. We're just going to do two more things and then we're done. I'm going to ask Raymond to come up the front, and we're going to sing that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," to end our service. But is Raymond here? Yeah, you'd like to come up the front, Raymond. So this is Raywin. Raywin has asked that she come into membership this morning. In other words, she wants to join a community. Raywin has discovered that to be a Christian is to do a group thing, not just a solo thing. And she knows that she can't do this stuff by herself. Is that right? Do you want to take that hold of that? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so Raywin wants to become a part of this family and make that kind of public. Do you want to tell us what kind of led you to this, Raywin, just briefly? Just, you know?
I think...
Are we on, Jim? Yeah.
I think it's because I was watching the other day when someone else came up and committed their life up here to the body of Christ. And I just thought, well, I've been coming for the last 6 years, usually at the back, listen to the message and then quickly go home. But in the last 4 months, I've noticed that I've been more drawn to the people, and have actually been saying hello to people I've never met before, being involved in different things in the church. And it's just, I just feel it's the time for me now.
That's great. That's so awesome. So I wonder if we could all stand. And as Judy Payne here, Judy, do you mind coming up and pray? Because Raywin's in your small group. Is that all right, friend? Yeah, if you could just pray for Raywin, that'd be awesome. If we could have the musos up too, that'd be great. Let's pray, friends.
My Loving Father, we thank you for Raywin. We thank you that she has come to this point in her life to join with others to serve you. And we ask that you will just richly bless her. May she be aware of the Spirit's leading and give her opportunities, Lord, to use the giftings that you have given her. Just richly bless her now, we would ask. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Raven.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, guys. So we're going to sing this final song, and I think it is apt. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah.